All right, guys, this is the Iacocca teleclass on leveraged team management. So on the call, I've got Steve, Jeff, Jeremy, Peter, and Ramon. How's everybody doing? Let's start today's call off with just a quick round of wins, challenges, etc. Peter, start us off.
One thing that I can a small little victory is working on getting committed actions from my own department and just starting off with some simple things just to start getting in that habit. We had some vehicles that I discussed with the team that we really needed to avoid. And I used it as an opportunity to ask for committed action for them to avoid those vehicles. And they both committed to not purchasing those vehicles in the future. I've gotten commitments before, but this was the first time when I got it in email. We had a discussion about it, and I feel like it was very clearly communicated and committed to. So it's a small little victory, but I just use that opportunity to try and get some more experience with getting committed action from my team.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you sharing. Ramon, any wins, any challenges? I appreciate your post.
Just as I stated in the post, we've initiated our efforts to implement IRTA into Recon, and there has been some wins on that because it's given the guys a little bit more empowerment, which is designed to do to make certain decisions and get decisions or resolutions faster. So using the IRTA, the guys are referring a little bit more, not as much as I'd like, but I mean, it'll come in time. I mean, it's just a new tool we're using. Task capture management, just lining out what we have going on and knowing what to do, when to do it has been something that I'm personally working on. As we're laying out our recon roadmap and the different adjustments we're making in recon. So not as successful with that right now as I want to be, but it's a work in progress. It's a marathon, not a race effort. So just a couple of those type of things.
That's great. Thank you for sharing. Steve.
Sorry, I was on mute. For me, a couple wins have been, especially on the leverage team management, is the invest early to catch up. I've been started probably right after the June retreat, probably early July, started thinking about where we needed to be at the end of September. And so each week, I will do updates as to what I want to cover at the upcoming retreat. In the past, we've kind of gotten those thoughts together the week and a half, 2 weeks prior to the retreat. In this quarter, I started to do a lot more invest early. So each week, I'll game film where we are in reference to our Q3 selectively invest and our drive dailies and just continue to update what we want to cover, and I think that's going to help me bring more into the retreat, more thoughts into it. And then also, this quarter we started the process of, because we have our daily huddles, we have our weekly structured meetings and our quarterly retreats, but we didn't have anything on the monthly side, so we started this quarter each month doing a half day off site just to check in and make any adjustments. So the invest early to catch up is the area where I'm having some good success. As mentioned on the journal, probably the area where I'm really working hard is more on the assign, don't do. And so that's an area where I'm trying to focus more on.
I appreciate the acknowledgement that you're struggling on it, right? And it's an area that...
Actually, I'm doing it really well. That's the problem. It's easy.
Fair. Do we have Vance join us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Vance. Any wins, any challenges to speak of?
Yeah, I mean, coming into the week, I think, I had some challenges with really trying to, just perfect and, use every tool, in Sagan and apply to, all the situations that, that surface and on the sales floor. And after our weekly meeting between me and Peter, that was something he pointed out that, he stays away from. Peter mentioned that, he's very, very aware of his, his bandwidth and with all the other changes going on in the company and, in our strategies. Really trying to prioritize and, just not focus on too many areas of Sagan, because focusing on too many areas, you won't perfect any one area. And that's something that, it was a win for me, just kind of hearing Peter say that and, really trying to tone it down and tell myself, hey, don't try to be perfectionist, just focus in a few areas and, get the most out of those areas which you think are going to benefit you on in my department. And, one of those areas is, personal task matrix. That's one area I've invested a lot of time into, just kind of daily and weekly, just kind of foreseeing my week and, what initiatives I have, what tasks I have, and in some cases having to, push some stuff back, and reprioritize. It's worked out great. And as far as for, the team management, leveraging team management, something I've been working on is, going into any meeting or any, conversation, with the attitude of, just active listening and just, seeking to understand, what's going on there, instead of going into it, with just a strong sense of, I know, what the situation is, I know what's wrong, I know what's going on. So, those are some small wins for me there.
I appreciate that. Jeremy.
Hey, sorry for the technical difficulties. For me, over the last couple of weeks, really, using the leverage team management, the really mood contagion, understanding that with change, we're going to run into some struggles and viewing those struggles as opportunities and try to keep the team focused on, recalibration of positive energy and focused on really as when we kind of we're zooming forward a lot to see, skate to where the puck is going and then with the team though to really help them to bring them along and to understand, individually and as a team, we're having some success and even though we have, we had a tough week, understanding that that's an opportunity for us to learn, get better, and kind of just how we, what the mood of the entire, company is and trying to keep them all focused and positive energy. And, so that, to me, it was kind of, I finished last week with rough sales numbers. And when we, when we zoomed out on the month, we realized, we really actually made some good progress here, and to kind of recalibrate on positive and take away some good learning opportunities was a win for me.
Interesting. That's an interesting observation and takeaway. I appreciate the nuance there of how the cultural implications impact how you guys apply some of these tools. Jeff.
We on mute.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing specific, Rupert. It's no particular examples in the last couple of weeks. I mean, I just continue to try and help the team remain focused on the vital few, the important things. There's still a lot of immediate short-term distractions that become all in important, and hence, you know, you pile one of those on top of the other, and before you know it, you know, a month or a quarter has gone by and you wonder why you haven't achieved the big stuff. So I just continue to work with Ramon and Jeremy and Peter and the purchasing team to try and, you know, help them remain focused on the big programs.
Got it. Appreciate it. Did I miss anybody? I don't believe I did, but in case someone joined and I didn't hear, I don't think so. Okay, let's jump into leverage team management. I know that's been a topic that, you know, Steve's posted about, and I think that one of the things I wanted to start out with was, can anybody help explain to me the difference between a leverage team management principle and then the relevant tool?
Basically, the principle is what you're trying to accomplish, and the tool is what you can use to basically accomplish your goal.
Okay. Break that down a little further. Breakdown, right? Because basically, at the end of the day, the principles, it doesn't say guiding in there, and that's kind of the wrong connotation, but they're used to help guide you in what you need to actually be focusing on or doing per the leverage team management sort of module, right? And the module really just helps sort of bring all these tools that we have together and implemented in everyday real life. So if I hold the principle of assign, don't do, that's just a personal principle, right? Then I have a set of things that I can use or leverage those tools to help me sort of be consistent with this principle. If that makes sense. So when Steve says, hey, I'm doing my best to do nothing, for instance, right? Or a sign don't do, yeah. That's just sort of a guiding thematic sort of principle for him over however long he wants to work on it. And he has a handful of tools to go and actually apply to it. So with that, Ramon, can you walk me through Seek to Understand as the principle, some of the tools that are available to you, and then how that's sort of been implemented for you, or how it even shows up for you? And you may say, hey, it doesn't show up for me yet, and that's okay too.
You know, to be totally transparent, Rube, this is something that I have not invested a lot of my time in.
Ramon, can you speak up?
Yes. This is one of the concepts that, can you hear me better, Steve?
It's a little better. Still light, but better.
Yes.
And this is one of the things that I'm personally struggling with because I have not invested a lot of time in this one concept. And so it's fairly new to me, the reading of it, because I've been focusing on some of the other concepts that we're working on in Q3. But if I was to look at it, and some of the tools that would be useful for me, and that's what I've been trying to use, is like the task capture management, and the plans that lay out to design the plan for my team and give them the information that they need so that I can step back and then refocus and allocate my time in other places. So I can't serve a good example to this right now.
I appreciate the honesty. Has anybody you seek first to understand as a potential principle and then the related sort of tools?
This is Vance, by the way. I'll share with you guys kind of my walkthrough. As far as the active listening, I just make sure, I'm always going in there with my, letting that person know they have my undivided attention, a lot of eye contact, and just, open to everything. And then, a lot of the time, I repeat some of the stuff they said back to them. That way they understand that I am listening. I'm carrying on with the conversation, in the inquiry phase of it. Asking good questions. I try not to ask loaded questions. I try to, just ask questions, it could prove me wrong, take me in another direction, as opposed to asking a question, that I have the answer to. And then ground rules, that's something that's big. Place some ground rules, get everything on the table, even if it's messy, some of those things, everyone participate. Those are some of the basic things that I use, but what's most important to me in that principle, and getting to where I want to be is the active listening and the inquiry phase of it. That's what's most important. Just being open to being wrong and being open to what that person has to say.
I appreciate that. One of the things that occurred to me is that we don't ever ask ourselves why it's important, why these principles are important, right? So why is seek first to understand important, even just to you on a personal level?
For me?
Yeah.
Really just because, a lot of the time whenever I go into, any situation, I already have in my mind what I think, is going on, and I'm telling myself stories, so that's a lot of the time how I phrase it. And when I go into those situations, the story I'm telling myself is this. That's how I use my phrasing, but, it just takes out that, that mind frame that I have of being right almost, going in there and just being open-minded, to, whichever way this conversation is going to take me and these questions.
Hey, for me, a lot of it is when I seek to understand, it's for the other person, because I want them to feel, that they are involved and that I am listening to them, and they really, even though we may disagree, I want them to feel that we're, working through things, or we're, at least coming to some common understanding by me trying to understand their perspective. And it doesn't necessarily have to be somebody's right, somebody's wrong, but when you give that, if you give the perception to the other person that you care about what they're saying and you're listening and you want to understand, to me that's leveraging them as a resource in whatever the outcome may be.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? At the end of the day, like it or not, you as leaders have a high level of influence over what the answer is, quote unquote. And understand first, you at least allow the possibility of that answer emerging from your team. And if they get trained in waiting for you to give them the answer, you won't ever get the leverage you need out of them. Because the fear of me being wrong in front of my boss or being wrong in front of you is far worse than just putting something out there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
So, Jeremy, you had talked a bit about mood contagion and sort of how changes in the organization impact everybody and how you've used some of these tools. Can you walk us through just recalibration and drama triangle as a principle in service of mood contagion?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of times for me, it's using the, you know, inquiry and just perception of what's going on in the room, where everybody's at, to try to figure out, you know, take the pulse of the room, whether it's a meeting you're in or just coming into the, you know, the production day, to try to see, you know, where we need to reinvest energy or recalibrate, you know, where, you know, are people excited, energy's high, or are people low, struggling, confused, and how are people showing up? You know, are they engaged? Are they, you know, are they acting as victims? And trying to be able to say, well, as you know, as a leadership team, or you know, even you know, within you know, how can we help get the best outcome? How can we, you know, either change the recalibrate and redirect energy into a more positive way, or you know, how can we challenge or use our coaches to become more positively focused and get the outcome that we're trying to achieve?
Yeah. It's interesting. It's about outcomes for sure, and I think it's definitely about helping sort of manage the energy in the room. One of the things that I think is really interesting about mood contagion that we don't realize as leaders is that stories get spread whether we control them or not, whether we influence them or not. And more than likely, there's a series of things that are right, wrong, true, untrue that are just being pervade throughout the broader employee base there. And to the extent that you can help recalibrate and work through some of the drama triangle stuff, you get to at least stem off some of that mood contagion. Because if I'm coming in and I'm having a bad day and I'm making up stories or telling myself a story about how Jeremy's persecuting me and he's the worst boss ever and this company is just making all the wrong decisions and they won't listen to me, and if I speak loud enough, there's enough people around me, whether they're actively listening or not, who are going to be influenced by it. And it's up to us, it's our responsibility as leaders to help stem some of that in a responsible way. And that's really what the mood contagion principle helps at least highlight. You know, guys are about to go in. Go ahead.
Sorry, the other thing for me is how am I showing up? Like, what's the energy that I'm putting off? And if I'm anxious, stressed, nervous, angry, whatever, that definitely resonates to the rest of the team. And I found that, you know, really doing the personal recalibration and, you know, before you come into a meeting, conversation, or even into start the day, you know, it's a pretty big thing. If you don't do that and you're showing up with this nervous energy or anxious, stressed out, you know, that can just, you know, stir up the team in a way that you don't really, if you're not aware of that, it can have a pretty bad impact.
Absolutely. Recalibration is quite important, especially if you're trying, if you know that you're susceptible to carrying over things from whether it's home to work or whether it's from one meeting to the next.
Yeah.
You guys are about to start your off-site retreat, right, your quarterly, which gets us to the principle of investor-related catch-up. Steve, can you walk us through what this principle is, some of the things you're doing in service of it, and what it really might, the why it's important?
Yeah, I mean, I'll speak to my use of the tool and why it helps me. I think a lot of times we get get busy and we wait till the last minute and we have to look back over the entire quarter and try to think of everything that we want to bring into the meeting the last few days in preparation to the retreat. And that just requires us to try to capture everything at that brief moment, as opposed to starting earlier in there and capturing the thoughts and insights over a much longer time. And what I find by doing that is I'm able to see patterns more so than individual circumstances or instances. So if I'm kind of game filming each week about the developments, I will see patterns starting to develop, trends starting to develop, things that I would not see had I invested late and just tried to do a recap of the whole quarter. So I think it's just taking a few minutes each week and just capturing those. And we also applied a similar approach yesterday in our weekly meeting. The last half of it, we have a weekly topic, and the other, this past week's topic was employee productivity and engagement. And we talked about the importance of, instead of doing like an annual review where you try to meet at the end of the year and do an hour and a half, 2 hour review of that person's performance and trying to capture everything throughout the year, is invest early in the year and each month take 15 or 20 minutes with that person and give them frequent, timely feedback throughout the year. And that's, you know, so you're investing early there in January and in February and March, not waiting and leaving the person in the dark all the way till December about how they're doing. So, I mean, yep. I think there's a lot of different areas that you can use the invest early. And I think by doing that, it just gives you a much broader perspective and you'll notice things, that you probably wouldn't have known trying to, do things at the last minute in a heroic way.
Yeah, I love that example of, like, reviews and feedbacks, right? Because I can't tell you the number of executive teams I work with that we get them to, we implement a whole sort of review process, et cetera, and I tell them every year, don't wait until the last minute. Do it as you go. Do it throughout the year. Fill it in as you need to. Check in with the person so they're not blindsided. And every year between, you know, call it mid-October and Thanksgiving, there's a mad scramble to get as much feedback into the form as possible so we can have the conversation and get bonuses allocated, et cetera. And it's just not necessary if they had just invested early to catch up. And I can't imagine that the quality of the feedback is as thoughtful and as thorough as it could have been. They just taken their time early.
Right. Yeah.
So I certainly can appreciate that. Here's one that I'm curious about. Has anybody really used tops down and bottoms up as a principle? Okay. So I didn't think so, and that's okay. Here's something to think about for your actual retreat, okay? Tops down and bottoms up as an actual sort of principle within this leverage team management is really about understanding what the long-term high-level goal is and then knowing how all of the details underneath that actually flow up and holding those two views at the exact same time, right? If you guys have done any kind of budgeting at all, I would imagine you get a little bit of this experience where you say, hey, we want to grow by 5% on the top line and 10% on the bottom line, and then you go and do all the actual numbers, and your numbers don't actually match up to what you thought the high-level goal was. And now you have to go through and do this process of reconciling all of that. And that's a little bit of an illustration of what the tops-down, bottoms-up sort of principle could be. So, for instance, if you have an initiative, what's the high-level set of goals you guys want to keep in mind for the initiative? Without knowing too much of the detail, what's the high-level goal? then the bottoms up part is, what are all the little things that need to happen in order for us to meet that goal, and are they still reasonable based on that goal? And the tools you have to help you do that are some of the work structuring tools, whether that's roadmaps or, you know, initiative framing, or even 5 minutes of prep will help you on the top down, bottoms up approach.
Hey, Rue.
Yeah.
Hey, Ramon, I was going to say you might want to talk about the exercise that we've gone through, and I think you've made a good movement forward on this.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, and that's kind of where I stumbled on the first question because my mind is so wrapped around that. In Recon, one of the things that we're doing is we're restructuring the team to become more efficient as a team. And so as a result, Jeff and I have been working on developing our roadmap and what specific actions and steps need to happen for each person in order for us to achieve the initiative. And since we have developed it, I'm putting the plan together, and then I go back to my team, and then I'm sharing it with them, getting their feedback, and trying to fine-tune that plan. And what I've come to realize is, so yesterday I put the plan in quite a few of the guys' hands, you know, like the Chris Hesters, my guy who works in parts, Jeff Sickles, my inventory attendant guys' hands, to see if they understood what their actions needed to be to help us reach our top line goal. And what I found was it's successful in that the communication is clear, it's concise, everyone knows what they're supposed to do in order for us to achieve the recalibration of our department to be more efficient. And by doing so, by creating the roadmap and communicating that roadmap, it actually gives me some space to then support it and support the actors as I need to and put myself in the right place. So, just speaking from experience, and this is what, you know, I'm working with right now, very, very useful tool in itself.
Hey, Bruce, it's Jeff. Let me just build on that. I think it for the rest of the team, Ramon has been able to do is sort of start with the top line 2x2 initiative, which is to make Recon more efficient and achieve his goals. But beneath that, as we broke it out by month out through to the first quarter, it resulted in a number of, you know, 4 or 5 major initiative groups, major initiatives across his team. And so once you took that initiative, like, improve the checkout process, check-in process, that then resulted, each initiative was then, so the first sheet was the roadmap, which had the initiatives on it, and then the second sheet has each of the initiatives broken down into individual actions that then month by month take and deliver that particular initiative. So when you overlay, you know, what was four initiatives for him, you can then see conflicts of resourcing, you see conflicts on one particular person, you know, and you can really then manage. Ramon now has got a detailed action plan where on a month-by-month and week-by-week basis, he can actually drive the actions forward, which then, you know, evolve the whole department. And this has been a missing piece for me, for us in general. What we've tended to do is write big initiatives on the 2x2, and then, as I referred to earlier, you know, it might be an inquiry from me or an inquiry from Steve, you know, and we forget that these little inquiries on a day-to-day basis about little variations in the business become screams from above, you know, that stop the department dead because they then focus on that area and they, you know, they haven't had the action plan and the detail to really drive the big stuff. And that's resulted we've got better at it, but it has in the past resulted in the fact that, you know, you get to the end of the quarter and you wonder why you haven't made any progress on the big stuff, but you've been really busy in between time. So I think that this should help us say, hold on, yeah, I know there's all this other stuff to do, but we want to keep our eye on the bigger game. So credit to Ramon.
That's awesome. This is exactly the right illustration of the top-down, bottoms-up principle. This is great. I got a question for you, Ramon. Are you guys putting any of these initiatives for your own department within its own 2x2?
Yes, I have. And that's what I'll have with me today. It's actually restructured my 2x2 that I came out of the Q3 retreat, because seeing those actions and seeing those initiatives, it break, like Jeff said, it broke it down into specifics. And so it has actually evolved my 2x2 into, okay, this is what you're specifically doing and how it translates to the overall goal.
That's great. That's exciting. I'm personally very, very excited to see how that plays out for you over the next quarter. So, cool. Thank you guys for that illustration. That was great. Another principle. Use template. Anybody have any experience with this? Or have a sense for why this is important? Or why it's useful? Maybe it's not important to you, but maybe it's useful.
Well, for me, Roop, the use of the templates that I have, you know, there's a couple templates that I could definitely benefit from using that I have not, and that's, you know, some of the structural meeting templates that I see Steve use, that I see Jeremy use, but the template in terms of IRTA I have found very useful because it keeps me on track. I tend to ramble, and so the use of the template gives me those walls that I need to stay in, who, what, when, and I got to constantly remind myself of that, and so in a sense the templates gives me that discipline to do that. I found it very useful in the roadmaps. It keeps me definitely on track of where I need to go. And as I communicate that to my team, I'm seeing that they're finding the templates also useful because we can then go off on a wild road somewhere without staying focused and losing sight of the goal.
No, that's great. That's exactly, again, how the templates are supposed to be used, right? The burden of having to create something from scratch can paralyze people to not even actually starting and therefore mute their ideas and mute their input, right? And giving somebody a template where it's just boxes to fill out at least alleviates some of that. It won't alleviate all of it, but at least alleviates some of it, and it gives you a platform to help bring them along. You know, if you flash forward 12 months from now and you continue to use templates and start to develop your own templates to help your team, you will find you're going to get more out of them and more of the thinking and the progress on a project from them as opposed to you having to hold that space, which, in theory, should free you up to do other things, to think about other things in terms of optimizing your group. Does that make sense? Do you guys have any examples of templates that y'all have implemented on your own within the organization?
Well, for me, Roop, and I don't mean to be taking over the call, I'm sorry. One of the things that I use to structure our morning production meeting is I use the daily commitment sheet that I had the guys start out with, filling out their daily commitments, what they got yesterday, what's the goal today, what's planned to go, and it basically laid out the who, what, when, and where for each vehicle. And when I gave it to a different person to lead the huddle, I put that in his hand. It helped, and what it did, it helped keep the consistency of our daily huddle and keep it, you know, within a certain time frame and keep that same structure for it. And then as the team matured into the huddle, I was able to personally back off and allow them to lead it, and then I was actually able to remove the template in itself, because then the flow of the meeting formed and it took off on its own. So, we got the same output of the meeting, the desired output of the meeting that the template set out to drive.
That's awesome. And don't apologize for taking over the call. You have a lot to share, so I appreciate that.
Ramon, do you mind if I say something? Ramon, do you mind if I jump in for a second, or are you?
No, go ahead, man. I'll share this with you.
stay in your template, will you? No, so, we've tried a couple different things in sales, and just like, I've seen that it happen when you ask to, create from scratch, that it really does, it can just solve everything, And so I think, with Mike and Vance, I tried, a couple of different things with, how they do their daily check-ins with CEOs. And so we just created a little tracking template that they may be able to use and go around and, and then I think from that, it allows them, here's what we're trying to accomplish. Here's, I can go fill it in. I don't have to create from scratch. But then it can evolve into, okay, how can we make this better? How can we improve on the template? How can we, So that, for us, we've seen a little bit of success with that, but that's definitely something. I have a couple of things that I'm working on that I really I see templates as being an opportunity that I want to invest a little bit more energy in.
Nice. Very nice. Anybody else? Okay. The last principle I want to go into on this call, and it's not all of them, but just the last one we'll cover today, is reach out for help. Share the joy. Don't keep the pain. Peter, can you help me sort of understand this one, why you think it might be important? Even if you haven't used it, why do you think it's important?
Well, I've definitely used it recently. The reason it's important is, especially in a time of change, as we're going through in our business, is, just because you have ownership of something doesn't mean it needs to be all on your shoulders. We're all together. We're really learning how this new model works. It's really new to all of us. So, one thing that Ramon and Jeremy do very well is, they're consistently asking questions, consistently getting with Jeff. And, one thing I haven't really done is, seek out help. And, recently, I've had some conversations with Jeff, and it alleviates a lot of stress when you have multiple minds that come together, especially in a rapid time of change. So, it's important because, we are a team, and, we can accomplish great things, but it doesn't need to be, we don't need any, superheroes or super chickens or whatnot. We just need a solid team that works together to get things done. So it's very helpful, to reach out for help. You don't need to do everything on your own.
Thank you. I appreciate how that's been applied. For me, one of the really interesting things about this is the art of strength and vulnerability. As a leader, a lot of people approach it as I have to have the answer and I have to be able to show a strong front. And to some degree, you do have to show a strong front, but being able to open it up to the team and say, I'm struggling with this. I need help. Doesn't necessarily compromise your leadership ability, and it doesn't necessarily compromise your credibility. Right? Now, there's a difference between, pardon my language, holy shit, I don't know what I'm doing, somebody help me, and guys, I'm struggling with this problem. It's an important problem, and we need to collectively solve it. Or, guys, I'm struggling with how this is impacting the team. Help me come up with ideas, right? And the art of knowing how to reveal the vulnerability in a way that solicits a collective approach that democratizes the actual energy so people can help, is subtle, but it can be incredibly powerful. It's the same way when you have something incredibly strong go right and you give credit to your team. That impact can magnify any of the good mojo you guys have, right? So it's one of the last principles we have on this sheet, but it's, to me, the hardest to implement and the most impactful.
Rube, this is Vance. Something that, I mean, I talked about it last week a little bit, you know, in the, you know, teaching Nerda to a few of the guys upstairs. You know, this is something that, you know, we struggle with upstairs from time to time when guys have a tendency to, you know, stay confined to, you know, just, you know, thinking that they have to do it all themselves and they never reach out for help. So IRTA was something that, I mean, I thought that that was a good piece because it forces them, you know, in situations to, you know, reach out and ask questions to, you know, the peers, other people in their environment and also management and, you know, kind of take that faith and be proactive. Instead of being reactive, you know, and then reaching out at the end and saying, hey, I messed up on this. But, I mean, I just thought that was something pretty cool. I don't know what you think about, you know, comparing the two and using them.
Comparing IRTA?
Yeah, as far as, you know, the input part of IRTA, you know, receiving input from other people, from other areas.
Yeah.
You know, reaching out for the help and, you know, getting, you know, information and, you know, other, you know, pieces of mind on, you know, situations.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think that, you know, basically share the pain, et cetera, as a principle could actually be really useful to a setup for IRTA if the problem you guys are actually or the decision you guys are helping institutionalize for IRTA is something that organizationally you guys have been trying to solve for a while. For instance, right? A lot of IRTA is actually set up to help sort of democratize the flow of information and who actually has the training and the ability to make decisions at an organizational and structural level. But you can absolutely set up the inquiry, the input part of it, in a way that feels authentic and helps solicit the team's collective knowledge using leveraged team management. So, for example, guys, one of the things that I struggle with is understanding all the details and nuances on a day-to-day basis for this specific decision. You guys have a ton of experience in that, and I'm looking for your help as inputters to this process or as an input, you know, person to this process to inform the other parts of the decision-making, right? And I think in that way you get a shade, you get a color, a shade of the leverage team management principle while combining IRTA. Any other thoughts on leverage team management, guys?
Well, Rube, it's Ramon again. As far as that last principle, reach out for help and things like that, you know, I've found myself doing that a lot more. And I can tell you what's been a good balance for me is actually been Jeremy, it's Peter, and the guys, and then I'm feeling more comfortable to come and say, hey man, what's your thought on this? This is what I got going on. Hey, look this over. Tell me if I'm on the right track. What I find useful about that is it allows me to let my guards down. It challenges me to think a little bit more. Because when I just roll with my own opinion, my own agenda, I'm walking with blinders and sometimes I'm not able to see everything or I'm not getting the other perspective that I need to make the intelligent, most mature decision. And so for me, that has been huge. And just, you know, I appreciate the team that I have because I've been doing it more and more. And so that is huge in itself is that, reach out for help. And even so much I develop relationships up at, Blue Knob or just leaning back on people that I've known, that are in the industry for different helps, different ideas, and just ways. So.
That's awesome. And to me, that's like, when we first started this program, one of the things we wanted to do was strengthen the collective bond of the team in place, this team. So when you see each other as your actual primary team and are able to lean on each other in the hard times and celebrate in the wins in a way that's authentic, that creates momentum, that energizes the culture, that's the real sort of, to me, that's one of the major outcomes of this program, right? Is being able to do that in a way that charges the organization up. So I appreciate you sharing that. Final thoughts on IRTA? Or not IRTA, but on leveraged team management? Okay. So we've got about 7 minutes left. I do want to do just a quick check-in on implementation plans, things you guys are struggling with to help sort of progress through Q3. I know when I talked to Jay, his advocacy generally from the last few sessions you guys have had is just focus on fewer things and just do them really, really well, which I hear reflected back to me. So I appreciate that. But are you guys tracking on your implementation plans like you should be?
Yes.
That wasn't very confidence-inspiring. But I appreciate the answer. Are there areas you feel like you're going to be behind? Would it help to do a quick check-in on the implementation plans by way of you guys posting them to the e-journal? That silence would indicate to me that you guys are not a big fan of that idea, and I still think it would be helpful because it'll prevent the last-minute shuffling and the last-minute posts. So what I'd like to see by Friday at 5 p.m. is just a post of your implementation plans to the e-journal of where you're at. No judgment one way or another, but at least it allows Jay and I a chance to sort of find quick areas of wins, quick areas where you guys can push a little bit more, especially in the next 30 days as we head into Q4. Does that seem like a reasonable request?
Yeah. Seems reasonable to me.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. I know you guys have a hard stop at 9:30, but if there's nothing else, I'll give you guys 5 minutes back to prepare for your offsite.
Anything you guys have, want to share?
Nope, nothing for me.
Okay. Well, I appreciate, all the sharing and the discussion. Ramon, seems like there's a lot of things in play for you, which I am I'm pumped about, frankly. I'm excited that all these tools are having a high level of relevance. And same goes for the rest of the team. It just happens to be Ramon who had a lot to share today. So I'm deeply appreciative.
Awesome. Thanks, Rick.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks,
have
Rick.
A good retreat. Yeah, take care.
All right, guys. You guys at 10:30.